time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Boy, do I have a great show for you today. We're going to speak about one of the most unique ecosystems in the entire world, with only a few places on Earth with this one-of-a-kind place. It's the Pine Barrens. You only find Pine Barrens in New Jersey, Long Island, New York, and in Cape Cod, Mass., and I've been to all three of them. It's often called the Pine Lands. Well, let's turn back the clocks right now to my younger years, my teenage years, and growing up in the New Jersey Pine Barrens. Well, I spent time fishing there, hiking there, camping there, and boonie-whopping there. Boonie-whopping? What's boonie-whopping? Well, for those of you that do some off-road four-wheeling, boonie-whopping is when you go through the sand. And again, being younger and doing it now, I've grown, you know, the environmental scientist side says that's degradation of land, won't do it now. But those were the younger years. And I'm telling you right now, with my great friends, Dr. Bob, one of my best friends growing up, his brother Joey, who was a teammate of mine, his brother Richard, their friends down there, we spent so much time together in this area. So let's see what makes this coastal area so special. First, I already mentioned, if it's by the shore, it's got sandy soil. Sandy soil, you know, is usually nutrient poor, but the habitat is so full of life. So let's like see, all right, what's inside this habitat? One of them is the pitch pine. When you think about pine trees, there's always a unique way of figuring out, well, how is one pine different from another? And what you do is you go up to the needles, you pull off a few together, and they will come off in this little clump. That's called a fascicle. And the pitch pine has three needles. And the way I describe the pitch pine, pitching a baseball, think about that, and three strikes and you're out. So there's three needles in a fascicle. Now, pitch pines have this unique cone. It's called a serotonous cone. The cones fall off. They stay closed. When there is a fire, they then pop open after the fire. So after the ground is beginning to cool down, and it is a way to give regrowth to the area. Out in Yellowstone, the lodgepole pines also have serotonous cones. And think about this. These are regions where there are natural lightning strikes. So with those natural lightning strikes, well, then you're going to have fires and then you need regrowth. The biggest problem we have right now in life is we have too many fires, people that are setting fires intentionally, and those people that are actually having just campfires and they get out of control. Let me just say this to all of you out there. If there's a ring called a fire ring at your campsite, your campfire needs to be contained within that. And it shouldn't be any larger, and it shouldn't get, you know, the people, all the bonfire. No, it's not that. Enjoy the fire. Let me tell you, sitting by a fire is one of my favorite, I really mean it, one of my favorite pastimes. But we need to do it with some decorum, right word, whatever the right word is for being safe. But that's what the pitch pines are. Now, in the Pine Barrens, there are two threatened species, many more, but here are two of them. One is the Pine Barrens tree frog, a really unique animal, amphibian. Think about this, 1.5 to 2 inches in length. And then when you look at his colors, because people say frog's green. Well, watch this. He's green, he's purple, he's yellow, he's orange, and he's white. That is one unique, cool-looking frog. And the other threatened species I wanted to chat with you about is the pine snake. And I've had the opportunity, I filmed often, you know, with Joey B TV. And if you ever want to see my episodes, you can go to joeybtv.com, joeybe.tv. And I have filmed at the Turtleback Zoo with the pine snake. So I've actually had the opportunities to see them up close, to hold them up close. They are a really, really cool animal. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, two carnivorous plants that are there. One is the pitcher plant. And what I love about the pitcher plant, and you think about a pitcher of water. So you have this long, tall, cylindrical plant, about 12 inches long, and it has, they're not hairs, they are hair-like structures that face downward going in. And if you look into the pitcher plant, really unique, you're looking at this, and what happens is it's got some sweet nectar in the bottom, and an insect will smell it, fly down into it, and then try to fly up. Because the hairs are facing downwards, it hits into it and falls back into the liquid. And after a while, it gets tired, falls down in the liquid, drowns, and then the plant will absorb those nutrients in. And the other carnivorous plant that is there is the sundew. And the sundew is this, I don't know, say, inch and a half round, maybe 2 inch round plant. Think about a Venus flytrap, if you have that picture in your mind. But think about like one squashed to the ground, like flattened down. It's got a little yellowish-green color to it. Really beautiful. When I was out in Minnesota doing my wolf research out there, I saw sundews there. No, it wasn't a Pine Barrens region. Sundews do grow in bogs and fens and swamps. So you're going to find them there in wetland areas. So you've got these two really cool plants. Now, the streams are very acidic. So think about this. If you have lots of pines and the needles are going to fall, the acidity level grows. So it's got a pH of 5 or less. So the water color becomes tea-colored, and that's called tannic acids, you know. And it also has a high iron content, so you put this together, and you see this tea-colored water. And I've been in places in the country hiking, and people are looking at the water, and they're going, oh, my goodness, it must be polluted. And I'm going, no, tannic acid. Well, if it's got acid, see, they're all different types of acid, and some are stronger than others, and you know this because you eat vinegar or drink vinegar. You know, hopefully you don't just drink the bottle, but you put a little bit on your salad. Well, by putting that on, there are some weaker acids that we can actually eat. And this one is just going to color the water. I do remember one of my, going back to my teenage years, a number of us paddling down the Toms River canoe trip, having the greatest time in the world. And as we're paddling around or down the river, as we're coming toward us, you see a bunch of six packs of beer floating. And like your kids going, holy moly, like we're in heaven. What's your? And we paddled a little bit further up. And because obviously we put the beer in the canoe. We paddled a little further up. And there were a number of college kids out on the banks of the river having their old party. They figured they keep the water or the beer cool by just sticking it in the water. Well, some floated away. So we were able to retrieve the beers and give them to them. I won't talk about right now because this is being recorded that I drank any of those beers, but I'll just say that we returned most of the beers. I'll put it that way. And then, you know, we left them, hung out with them for a little bit, paddled our way down. And I am telling you, of all the sights that I've seen in nature, probably the scariest. We're paddling down and there's this little rock outcropping, and there's not many down there because you're in a flattened region near, you know, you're near the coast. There's a little rock outcropping, and there is a guy head to toe, completely sudsing him up, soaping himself up, stark naked, by the way, scary dude. And he's just there singing away and soaping him up. And we sort of giggled, but just paddled on because I just thought that this was not the correct place to be stopping. Well, down in the Pine Barrens, especially my buddy Dr. Bob and I, because growing up, he and I just lived to fish. You know, my cousin Jimmy Toots, and I've told you stories about him, my cousin Donnie B, because I'm Joey B, there's Donnie B. Well, we spent so much time fishing. Well, when I was in the Pine Barrens, because this is where one of Bob's had his summer home down there, his family, Joey, Richard, Mary. So we'd spend lots of time down there. And we'd go over to Witch's Pond. Don't know how it got the name, but there's the name. And it is brackish water. So brackish water, think about this. When you have an estuary where the river meets the sea, you're going to get a mixture of seawater, salt water, and freshwater, brackish, so it's got a low salinity content to it. But it is a pickerel haven. So a pickerel haven, I'm telling you, there's some other fish to catch, but you're going to catch some big old pickerel inside there. So Dr. Bob and I, we would spend our time in there. And I also remember one of the times when we were filming in, we were actually filming with Ocean Spray in the Cranberry Bogs. And the Cranberry Bogs in New Jersey happened to be in the Pine Barrens. And my cameraman, Christian, and I, I always get everywhere early because, number one, because I never want to be late. So I told Christian, I said, bring your rod. I know of a pond. We're going pickerel fishing, and then we're going to go film with Ocean Spray for the rest of the day. So we get down there, And bang, 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 bang. It is like one pick roll after another. One bigger, meaner dude. Again, we're catch and release people. So it was just a great day. And then, hey, hanging out with Ocean Spray. I did get a chance to recreate the Ocean Spray commercial with them. And dump a bag of sugar in there. And you can watch that one on Joey B TV as well. And if you have a question or comment for me, you could always tweet me at Joey B Outdoors. So that's my Twitter account, Joey B, J-O-E-Y-B-E, Outdoors. That's plural, Outdoors. Now, one of my favorite habitats in the Pine Barrens include the Atlantic White Cedar Swamps. Now, these are trees that grow so slow. So when you think about annual rings on a tree and you can count the rings, and most of the rings are very easy to count because there's some space in it. And I can get into the technical term. That's the old xylem and the phloems, the space in between. Well, oh, by the way, one of my degrees is in botany, so I know a little bit about that. Now, well, with the Atlantic White Cedar, when you look at their rings, they're so tightly packed together because it is a slow-growing tree. So when you look at this tree and you go, man, like you could look at like this huge white oak or something, red oak, black oak, and you look at it and go, man, that's going to be 150 years old. And then you look at the same size tree, Atlantic White Cedar in girth, and you're going, well, it's 700 years old. Really, really neat. And one of the things, especially up in Cape Cod, and I love this, you'll get sphagnum moss hanging off the trees. I think this is where like horror films are actually filmed, where they're really like people running through, well, all that. But the Atlantic White Cedar Swamp, say that fast, is a little tough. Really cool. Now, going back to my Jersey days and the folklore that's there and the Jersey Devil. And people who live there, people call them the Pineys, they have all of these different stories that go along. And obviously, you ended up with a professional hockey team called the New Jersey Devils. And if you didn't know, that's where that name comes from. And you've just gotten all this folklore. And yes, it is folklore. Now, with one of my grad classes, and that was taxonomy of plants, name of plants, my absolute favorite professor, Dr. Barbara Brummer, and she and I have filmed together and all, spent some time after grad class. And just so you know that, Dr. Brummer was the hardest professor I ever had in the history of the world. But she was the toughest, fairest, and best educator. See, educators, And we have many educators that listen to me out there. Guess what? You're allowed to be tough as long as you're good at what you do, because children or adults or graduate students will learn as a result of it. Well, we spent a weekend in the Brendan Burns State Forest down there, a canoe camping trip. It was two nights. And this was the best way to learn about what's inside down there. And you've got Dr. Brummer, and this is how her 10-question quizzes are. So you'd be hiking along. So you'd have half sheet of paper. You're hiking along through a swamp, and she'd be saying, okay, so what's that tree, and what's the genus and species, and what's the fungus? And the quizzes were this quick, and you just had to know your stuff. And you might complain about it, but if you were complaining about it, it means you weren't studying about it. And she just wanted you to know everything, because she'd say, if you know it like this, you know it for life. And she was absolutely true. And one of the logs we flipped over on that trip, out pops a tarantula. Hey, tarantulas are pretty cool. And if you listen to one of my previous podcast shows, my Don't Look Now series, you need to listen to the one about the pink-toed tarantula. All right, but this one here, tarantula pops out. And right away, as I mentioned that to you right now, people are like, oh my goodness. Hey, tarantulas, when they bite, and they didn't bite us, they're pretty docile creatures to begin with, and I really mean that. Their bite is just that of a bee sting, or it depends on how allergic you are, a little bit more to it. But hey, we don't want to get bit by any of them anyway, because we want to protect species in the wild. Now, the Pine Barren that I mentioned before, they're famous for the cranberry bogs. There are also blueberry farms down there in the Pine Barrens. And as a graduate of Rutgers University, I've spent time with Dr. Chickalees down there. And Dr. Chickalees, her expertise is blueberry farming, and it is also cranberry farming. And through the experimentation down there, and once again, you can watch some of those shows on blueberry farming also on Joey B TV. Now, if you're looking for a one-of-a-kind hike, there are so many trails. Now, remember this, the Pine Barrens is a national reserve. So let's use my two P's, protect and preserve. And you always hear me talking about this. And I'm going to say, hey, you're looking for a great place to hike? It is here. You're looking for a great place to canoe, kayak, fish? It is here. But make sure that we're doing the right thing all the time. What threatens it? And you know this, we mentioned it, fires at an alarming rate. We need to recover. And because of this, you need to be slow. And I remember growing up once again. Hey, you notice lots of growing up stories. Just sometimes they just pop into my head. There's a truck called the Beast. The Beast just had this big old front grill on it because if there was a fire in the Pine Barrens and there weren't trails to get to it, the Beast would literally mow down trees, just knock them down so the fire trucks could be just right behind it to get to the fire. So I do remember that, but I'm going to say right now, well, let's be careful with those fires so we can protect and preserve. Now, one of the biggest threats is the encroachment of humans, and we know this. So we have all these townhouses on the edges, and you know what? We've got, in the Pine Barrens, we've got private land that's not protected, so we need to get some protection going on there. And a great, again, if you're looking to donate to a great cause, the Nature Conservancy, because what the Nature Conservancy does, and it's not just with wetlands and things, Pine Barrens, the Nature Conservancy goes and looks across our earth and finds plots of land that are vital to the survival of a species, plant, or animal, and will go and purchase that land and leave it fallow. In other words, they leave it alone the way nature intended it to be. So the Nature Conservancy is important for protecting some of our pine lands. So when you get out in this awesome ecosystem and you get to the end of the trail, use the words of my great teenage friend, Dave Zabriskie. If you can't go right, go left. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.